Today's program is brought to you by MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink. For more information, visit MOFAD.org.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Love Bites is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and we shall cheers to your beautiful, lovely name. I don't know. Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network. Today is Monday, August 8th. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I write about people who make food. You can find me as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 35, straight, and single.
And I'm your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I'm an actor, writer, occasional bartender, and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33 for another few days, straight, and in a relationship.
Woo-hoo.
Why is relationship italicized on here and single
because
not?
Because I'm still excited for you. Because I've been single forever, and in the relationship, this is only like 2 weeks into you having that announcement.
As an actor, I'm just like, how do I interpret those italics?
And in a relationship. Yeah. So after the break today, we're going to be speaking with sommelier and author Diane McMartin of This Calls for a Drink. In her book, she's paired wine and beer for not only special occasions like barbecues and holiday parties, but also for all stages of dating, love, and heartbreak, as well as Netflix binging. So keep listening for that after our commercial break. And since we're going to be talking about booze and love today, the irony is that neither of us are drinking right now, despite me like foaming at the mouth earlier for our announcement. We're completely sober because I don't feel well. And Benny, you got a big audition after the show today.
I don't like, now you're just making me feel like good karma. Well, thank you. But now I feel like if I don't book it, everyone's gonna be like, oh, you
such is the life. Such is the life.
What else is new, Ben? You big failure.
I believe in you, Benjamin. But we're going to talk about alcohol and love and dating today. So to start off the show, let's each share the drunkest we've been on a first date.
You start.
Okay, mine is like, I totally know what it is already. I want to say it's like a year and a half ago. I forget. But the guy totally did the most sexy thing ever and got us tickets to a live taping of Prairie Home Companion.
Ooh.
Which for me basically could have gotten me into bed with that alone. And then he brings a little flask of whiskey in. So like 10 minutes into being seated, he's like, hey, do you want some whiskey? And I was like, oh my God, I love you. But the problem was we started drinking whiskey, like a little bottle,
okay,
while watching the show. And then we were feeling good. And so we're like, all right, let's go out. So we took a subway down to Virgola, one of my favorite wine bars, and a former business partner of the show and guest. So we basically, like, on the way down, we, like, finished the little bottle of whiskey and then went and had cocktails and were, like, macking all over each other at Virgola. And I actually liked him. Like, we had a lot in common and we were both sort of nerdy and nature-y. But I got
and alcoholics,
way
apparently, as well. Let's not leave that
drunk
out.
Like, just way too drunk. And I don't think I did anything inappropriate by any means, but let's just say that there was not a second date between us. Like, and it was...
And you blame it on the alcohol?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know what they're saying in the booth. Blame it on the what?
The I can't do it as well as David can.
I don't even know.
Can you do that one?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right, I just...
But yes, I do blame it on... The alcohol, the pop reference I don't get. Because it just got, like, it was sloppy by the end of the night, and I felt, I don't know.
Like you were...
All I know is that we didn't have a second date, and it was not by my choosing, and things were going very well.
Did you try reaching out to him, or no?
I did, but he has a place in Florida, this awesome little treehouse, and it just didn't... Anyway, it didn't happen. So, how about you? So, that was my most recent two drunkenness on a first date. What about you?
When I've been, like... racking my brain to think about being really drunk on a first date, and I think somehow I have been like really well behaved on all my first dates when it comes to like drinking. I mean, I've definitely been buzzed, but I don't know that I was like getting sloshed on whiskey in the audience of a show. I will say I have two things, though.
I think I'm leaving the studio right now in shame.
No, it's I'm feeling a little ashamed that in my wild party days, I didn't, like... I mean, I will say this. One is that, like, my serious girlfriend, Stephanie, who I dated for a long time, she and I...
You just flinched at actually having said her name.
I know. We haven't said any names on this show. No. That was, like, the first victim of...
The mold has been broken. All right, so you and Stephanie.
So... We were just, like, drunk around each other for the first, like, 3 years of our relationship. So
why didn't it work out, Ben?
I don't know. I'm a little confused. We got into some heated exchanges, I must say, over the years drunk. And then I will tell a story about someone else being drunk on a date that I was on, a first date. I met this girl out one night, and we were drinking when we were out, and, like, we went back to her place. And then... we met up again, and, like, she was already kind of drunk when I met up with her.
I remember you.
And then we were, like, drinking and drinking and drinking, and she was so wasted. Like, I don't even know, like, how she got so drunk, but she was so drunk that she started just, like, handing, like, $50 bills as tip with every drink she was getting at the bar.
What did she do?
And I don't know. She was an actor, which, but, like,
something else on the side.
Seriously. And then we went back to her place, and just in time for her to, like, start vomiting all over the place, like, all over her own
stuff. All right, I've never done that. Okay, well, let's broaden from first dates to alcohol in general, because we're going to be talking with Diane later about alcohol in life. So what is your relationship with alcohol like in general right now, Benjamin?
I have a very intimate relationship with alcohol. You know, I wouldn't say, I definitely don't party the way I used to when I was younger and fresh out of college. And by fresh out of college, I mean like 8 years out of college. but now I couldn't drink like that if I wanted to. My body could not handle.
Remember the stuff that, all right, so listeners, we've known each other since like 1999 when I was a freshman in college and Ben was visiting us at college. We've had some very drunken times together.
Oh my
Benny.
God.
Like falling into campfires, and like I fell into a lake once. I fell out of a canoe and hit my head on a rock.
That was
senior year of college.
That was, you know, we've had some dangerous times.
We've had some dangerous
like,
times.
Like I feared
together.
For both my and your lives.
Yeah.
Several times as a result of alcohol.
Yeah. And we should give a shout out right now. One of our good friends from college, we'll call her Muffin, is listening. And Muffin also experienced some very, very drunken
evenings
with us. Remember, Muffin, remember Benny and falling into the tent?
Okay,
remember
come on.
That?
All right. Just because you got wasted on your first date and blew it doesn't mean you have to go blowing up my
face.
Spot on
well,
everything.
Let's just put it, you know what? I'm proud of how much we partied when we were younger because we are alive and we are responsible adults now, almost, maybe, sort of, kind of. Like, I'm glad that we can't party like we used to. Like, your body, our bodies can't do that anymore.
If you were going to go back and do it again, would you drink the same amount?
Well, the only thing I would change, like, there was a period when I got lime again in college, I could only drink straight vodka, because I couldn't have wine, I couldn't have sugar, and, like, vodka was, like, the purest, simplest thing to drink, and so, luckily, we had great friends in college, like, and it was not like it is now, where there's all these camera phones, and we just had really, like, I remember once, the first time, like, we were out in the woods somewhere in college, and I was sipping my Stolichnaya little bottle by myself, and I was sitting on a tree, and there was a campfire, and there was a river, and Muffin was there, and the next thing I know, I woke up in my boyfriend's bed. I didn't think he was my boyfriend at that point, but we were friends, and I was wearing, like, his pajamas, and, like, you guys were there hanging out, and, like, I was completely safe. So the only thing I would say going back is, like, to slow it down when you're learning how to drink straight alcohol. I don't do well with liquor, unless it's, like, a hot toddy, and, like, I have two of them. I don't think my stomach has ever been able to handle liquor. So I think I would just, like, looking back, I would just tell myself to slow down a little bit. God, Muffin's 21st birthday party, that was another bad one. I don't know if you remember that. There was a lake. I was making a cocktail. Anyway. Well, what about you? Would you tell your younger self anything?
I mean, I
to
think
anything differently?
I tend to think that I have... You live and learn. I don't really have any regrets in life or anything like that, simply by virtue of the fact that I feel like I'm the person I am now because of all of the
wild,
great, tragic, crazy, beautiful, hilarious mistakes I've made throughout the years. But thank you, David, for I'm getting applause from the booth over there. But not to mention the fact that if some like old version of me was trying to like tell myself not to drink more, like I don't think the me from then would like really listen too well to that.
Yeah, I don't think that us of back then listened to each other very well. And we're like, maybe you should slow down. Fuck you.
As other than that one date, has drinking ever caused a problem in your dating or relationships?
No, the guy I dated for 10 years, I do remember, like, when he moved in with me, we got drunk on Cinco de Mayo off margaritas, and I do remember screaming at him in a taxi to the point that he got out of the taxi and went back to hang out with our friends.
Whoa.
And that was bad because I, like, stayed at home in our apartment. He had moved into my apartment, and I stayed up until, like, 4 waiting for him to come home. But we were, like, transitioning through a rough period of moving in together, you know? So, like... Other than that, no, because I've very lucky that I've never had a problem with alcohol.
Except not having enough.
No, I've definitely had enough. How about you? Do you feel like you've ever had a borderline?
Well, like I said, that first really serious relationship.
But again,
it sounded
like it was a toxic relationship in some ways too.
Our friends used to like not want to be around us when we were drinking.
See, that's a problem.
Because we would like both black out and get in like massive fights. Like, we would get in rip-roaring fights and then, like, wake up the next day and be like, we fought, you know? Like, and not even remember it, you know?
Yeah, so that sounds like alcohol was a problem, but other things were a problem in that relationship, too.
Totally. And then I also, do you remember, of course, when we did our thing recently where we asked questions of our past relationships?
Yeah, that was the beginning of our spring season,
yes.
I believe. Yeah.
So one of the responses I got from a different girlfriend was that at the time she didn't like how much I drank and that it like inconvenienced her and was a problem for her. And I never knew that at the time. I mean, I maybe kind of assumed that.
Like, how old were you during that relationship?
28, 29.
So in that transitional adult life for us, I still feel like 28, 29 was transitional.
Wait, you're an adult now? I'm like 6 or 7 years. I'll be ready to make that transition.
Oh, I don't even know what that means anymore. All right. So it's been a problem and a not problem for both of us. But like, you know, like we were saying before, we're still alive to tell the tale. I don't feel like it's a problem now. I love alcohol. I love not having alcohol too. Like it.
You love not having alcohol?
Sometimes when I don't have, I love not drinking. Going out and not drinking. You know, sometimes
do
too.
You? Like, go. Like, what about when everyone else is drinking and you're not?
It depends on how I want my body to feel because I do not recover. If I have 2 glasses of wine in the morning, it's like I've had 2 bottles of wine. Like, it's just the way my body is now.
Do you think you could seriously date someone who like never drinks, doesn't drink, doesn't touch alcohol?
I don't know. I think so. Yes, I could. I don't know why I hesitated. Yes, I could. But the thing is, I like alcohol like I like food. So, like, I like to cook with somebody and drink wine, you know. But as long as they don't judge me, I won't judge them. And somebody who doesn't would be a healthier influence on me. I'd rather date somebody who doesn't drink than date somebody who is constantly drinking because I fall into habits of other people very easily. Not dangerously and not, like, giving myself up in a way, you know. But, like, it's just easier to drink more
when someone else is drinking. Like, my current lady likes to drink and like we both like to drink and so that's like a fun,
but it's not a problem like it was in that relationship you mentioned before.
No, because I'm not getting like blacked out anymore.
See, you are growing up. I think it's time to take a break and bring in the expert. What do you think, Benjamin?
An expert might be able to help us.
Yeah, we're gonna ask her about her dark habits too.
Before the break though, I just want to say next week is our last show of the summer season, which means it's also the last show of our first year.
Congratulations.
Of Love Bites.
High five, Booth.
Heritage Radio has helped us bring you...
Yay!
Yeah! Was that a kazoo?
It sounded like a kazoo.
Heritage Radio has helped us bring you 42 shows in 1 year, and we are so thankful to the team here for letting us do so. So please do us a favor and throw some love to our nonprofit, member-supported, Brooklyn-based radio station by jumping onto heritageradionetwork.org, click on the beating heart, and become a member today. If you are already a member, thank you. Tweet us, Facebook us, email us, smooch us back if you want, at lovebitesradio@gmail.com. And just let us know what you love to listen to, what you want to hear more of. We read every message, and we love you all so much. Now stick around for a quick commercial break, and we will be back with Diane McMartin for more talk about drinking and love.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by Talkstar, and this one's called Vicodin Dreams.
Hi, this is Peter Kim, the executive director of MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink. We're a nonprofit founded by Dave Arnold, the host of Cooking Issues here on the Heritage Radio Network. And we want to take people on a learning adventure through the world of food. We just opened MOFAD Lab, our gallery space at 62 Bayard Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where we are currently showing Flavor, Making It and Faking It. Flavor features some very cool sensory interaction. Flavor tablets deliver tastings of vanilla and umami, and the Willy Wonka-inspired smell synth lets you compose over 500,000 different flavors. So come on by and visit MOFAD Lab. We're open 5 days a week, and tickets are $5 for kids and $10 for adults. Learn more about the Museum of Food and Drink at mofad.org.
Diane McMartin is a certified sommelier and a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America's Accelerated Wine and Beverage Certificate Program. She's also the author of This Calls for a Drink, The Best Wines and Beers to Pair with Every Situation, published by Workman this past June. Along with pairing wine and beer for events, various stages of dating, work, holidays, weddings, music festivals, and baby showers, it also offers tips on tasting, buying, and serving, profiles of grape varieties, and insight into topics like hops and wood aging. Diane lives in Washington, D.C., from where she's calling into the show. Welcome to Love Bites, Diane.
Hello.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice. So we asked you to pair a wine and a beer for two radio hosts in Brooklyn. And while we are not drinking today, because we both have stuff going on, because we're lame, we are going to be drinking these probably next week for our last show. So for wine, you picked an Italian rosé, something made from maybe a Nebbiolo. And for a beer, you mentioned something that's a little bit bitter, but has like a sweet, sour fruit element. So to start out, tell us, how did you come up with making pairings for a summer radio show in Brooklyn?
Well, I always try to pair, whatever I come up with kind of like the general weather, what it's like outside. So I don't want to give you guys anything like super heavy. So, you know, rosé is kind of an obvious choice. But then I also wanted to play on the whole, you know, like love can be a little bit bittersweet kind of thing. So I didn't want to give you like a super trendy pale pink Provençal rosé, you know. So I wanted to give you something with like a little more depth and body. And so usually rosés that are made from grapes like Nebbiolo have a little bit more of that. And same with the beer. I wanted to give you something that had a combination of like sort of a sweet element like fruit and then sort of a more bitter element from the hop. So I chose like a fruity American pale ale for that.
Love it. Listeners, we're going to put what she sent us on our website if you want to be drinking along with us next week when we have our final show. Awesome.
With moderation, please.
With moderation.
Our listeners. Diane, as a sommelier, I'm curious because I try to do this sometimes when I'm on a date. Like, I try to, like, pick the right thing for my date. What is the biggest mistake you think someone can make when ordering for the couple on a first date?
Well, first of all, you're not alone because I have friends literally text me screenshots of the wine list. Like,
on the date?
He's in the bathroom. What do I order?
You are a good friend to have. You are a very good friend.
So you're not alone in worrying about this. But, you know, I think the main thing is that, you know, you shouldn't go too fancy. I think first dates should be all, like, light and easy. And so the wine that you choose should kind of reflect that. So kind of think Prosecco instead of, like, vintage champagne, you know?
Save us a little money on the price point there too. So thank you for letting us off the hook.
So has a guy or a gal ever made a big mistake with you on a first date? I assume that if other people are texting you screenshots of wine lists, that like are people really intimidated with you when you go out? Like, do you have to order all the time?
I'm always the orderer. I just am used to it now. Like, every time I go out with my friends, my family, someone I'm dating, they just, like, hand me the list. Like, it's just, I've accepted that that's my role in life. But, you know, I think kind of like I mentioned before, like, the only time that I've ever really felt like, oh, that was kind of a weird move was I did have somebody who did suggest ordering, like, a really expensive, I think it was, like, Dom or something, like, crazy, on a first date, and I just sort of felt like, I don't know, it was sort of intimidating. It's, like, too much pressure, you know? So I think that's really the only mistake that you can make.
Do you like the role of being the one who orders, like especially on a date, or do you sometimes want your date to kind of impress you with, you know, their own knowledge of wine or whatever?
No, I really don't mind being the one who orders. I also don't want people to feel like they shouldn't just drink what they like, you know, whether that's, you know, Sprite
totally.
Or Guinness or, like, I don't care. But I really enjoy the process of kind of figuring out somebody's palate and, like, figuring out what they like. So, you know, I like being able to just, like, ask them a couple of questions about, you know, what they like to drink and then pick something that I think that they'll like. Because, you know, it's kind of a fun, like, party trick and, you know.
Sure.
I don't know.
Do you feel like...
I like doing it. I don't mind.
Do you feel like when you figure out what kind of wine someone likes, you also figure anything else out about their personalities? Like, what can you learn about someone by the type of wine they drink?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And what I have found, there isn't so much a correlation between people's personality and what they like to drink so much as there. I have noticed a big correlation with, like, people who make wine and beer and what they like. And there's this strange, like, inverse relationship. I've noticed that tiny people tend to make really big, bold wines, and, like, sometimes bigger, burlier people make really delicate, elegant wines.
Aww.
I've noticed this, like, weird inverse thing over and over again, like, when I meet winemakers or, you know, I work in a wine store, and sometimes we have, you know, winemakers come and, you know, do classes or things like that for us. And it's weird. Like, I notice it over and over. So that's the only thing I've really noticed. I find that, you know, what people like to eat and drink doesn't have so much to do with their personality. It's more like how open they are to trying new things and figuring out what they like. That says more about their personality
mm-hmm.
than the thing itself, I think.
Yeah, and I was actually just thinking that before when you mentioned that you can't really correlate a personality type. That, yeah, it's a lot about are they open to, or like I love that little thing in Sideways, like I'm not going to drink any fucking Merlot, and like what that did to like the Merlot industry, because all of a sudden people who thought they were smart wine people weren't going to order Merlot when there's like a lot of really good Merlot.
Great Merlots out there.
Exactly, and like the same thing with like, oh, I don't drink Chardonnay. You know, it's like more about people who are closed-minded or open-minded or trying to pretend they're smart on things.
Yeah.
So how about in your own love life, like, is there a type of drinker that you just like won't date, or something like on like while dating you just learned that happens over and over that's sort of like a trigger for you, or that you're like, all right, I just instinctually this kind of drinker doesn't work for me?
You know, not really, because I have had like the whole range, you know, from people who are really into, you know, to beverages and food and things like that, you know, just like I am. And so it's like something that we like together. And I've also dated people who really don't know anything about wine or food. And, you know, I think that as long as the person, you know, doesn't like totally rain on my parade and like isn't, you know, just sort of isn't into my like hobby/obsession at all, you know, that's like a little bit sad. The only thing that I've really noticed is that I don't tend to get along with guys who like really super big hoppy beers. I don't have a huge like sample size, but I've just noticed a couple of times, like if that's kind of like their go-to, sometimes that's, you know, that's turned into a little bit of a red flag for me. I don't know why that is.
Huh. Well, Ben asked me before the break something that I was not caught on guard to ask, and I did not send you this question beforehand, but could you date somebody who does not drink at all?
You know, I think that I could, but I think it would be a little bit tricky, just because I would feel sort of like, I don't know, it would be like if you were a painter and you were dating somebody colorblind, like, you know, it's like something that I love so much. So I think it would just be like a little bit sad to not be able to share it with that person. So, you know, I think it would be possible, but it definitely would, you know, it would make me a little bit sad to not be able to, you know, like let them try something that I really love, or like take them to a winery or something like that. So
makes sense completely. So shifting to your book a little bit, how do you go about pairing wine and beer for things that are not just like, oh, for this type of dish or this type of occasion? Like when you were coming up with all these pairings in the book, how did you sort of put yourself in a position to be like, for a Netflix binge, drink this?
Well, I think that, you know, it's something that we all kind of instinctively do anyway, whether it's with food or beverages or, you know, all those things tend to carry a lot of emotional weight for us, and especially alcoholic beverages, they're kind of symbolic of, you know, celebrations and all kinds of things like that. So, you know, I think a lot of us are, like, most of the way there. We just haven't really, like, gone that extra step and thought of something specific. So I would always try to kind of think of, you know, what does this type of beverage, like, symbolize? So that's part of it. And then I would also try to take things into consideration, like, you know, how do you want to feel? You know, what kind of mood do you want to set? So, you know, do you want something casual? Usually things that are less expensive or less fancy are going to feel more casual. So I kind of went about it that way.
I remember a couple years ago, I had a friend who was a private chef who really taught me how to be braver with wine, because he sort of gave me a way of thinking about it while I was drinking it and how to pull out certain flavors. Do you have any sort of suggestions for, like, somebody, if we walk into, like, a big wine store or a beer store with, like, all of these options, can you sort of give us a, like, think about this, this, and this when we're like, all right, I'm going to make dinner for this date that I have, or I just got my heart broken and I need to be comforted with something. Do you have just, like, a 1, 2, 3 that you could help listeners when they just sort of walk into a store and not know exactly what they want when they walk in?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing to do is, if you're in a store that specializes in wine and beer, ask the employee. I love getting questions like that. And I've found that my customers more and more will ask me things like that. Like, if they're looking for a gift, I will ask them, like, about the person, you know, the recipient's personality, and I will kind of use that to help pick something.
Have you ever had somebody come in and say, I just got dumped, give me something?
You know, I haven't had anybody do that yet, but I'm, like, I'm so excited for it. Although I did recently have somebody who, you know, I was trying to look up their sort of their purchase log in our computer system, and it turned out, I kind of put my foot in my mouth, it turned out that she had just been divorced from this person. And so, but it actually turned into, like, a really nice moment, because I created, like, a whole new, like, a fresh new, you know, purchase log for her, and then I helped her, like, choose something fun to sort of, like, celebrate her new life. So it actually turned out to be nice, and she was very sweet to me, even though I kind of made a little faux pas there.
It happens.
So,
it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you kind of want to think about how you want to feel and sort of the level of formality that you want. You know, do you want something sort of casual and easy? Well, then maybe choose, like, an inexpensive Pinot Grigio with a screw cap. Or do you want something that really, you know, sort of says, like, I mean business, you know, for, I don't know, like, an important dinner, you know, then maybe you want to choose, like, kind of a stately red, like Bordeaux, you know. Mm. So
Jacqueline and I earlier in the show were talking about our sort of the trajectory of our relationships, our individual relationships with alcohol over the years. You've been saying how much you love drinking and enjoy sharing alcohol and your love for it. Yet many of us have also kind of escaped into alcohol in dark times. So here's, like, a kind of a personal question for you. Have you ever found that to be a problem for you? And if so, like, can you explain that a little bit, and how did you cope with that?
You know, my issue tends to be, I tend not to drink when I'm sad. I more have an issue when I'm happy. So I'm that person that, you know, sometimes forgets that I can't drink like I did when I was 21 anymore, you know, like at parties and stuff. And so that's more my problem. When I'm sad, I tend to just, like, want to be alone and, like, drink tea or, like, call my mom and cry. So,
so what happens when you're really happy and you drink too much?
But I think, you know, I think the main thing is that we all have a tendency when we're sad to retreat into something. And everybody has that thing, whether it's alcohol or, you know, work or, you know, Girl Scout cookies. Like, everybody has that, you know, has something. And so I think if you can fight that urge to kind of, like, turn in and hide in something or hide behind something and sort of reach out instead, I think that usually is really helpful. Because I have a tendency to kind of, you know, hole up a little bit and, like, not want to go out if I'm sad. So if I kind of fight that urge a little bit and call a friend or, you know, like, kind of try to get myself out a little bit, that usually helps and kind of gets me over it a little bit faster.
Good advice.
Very good advice. To try to dig a little bit more personally about the dirt in your life, though, we're going to ask you the same question that we started the show off with, that we asked each other, which is, what is the drunkest you've ever been on a first date?
You know, I've never really been that drunk on a first
date. Damn you two. No, I said damn the both of you.
Because I haven't really either, and Jacqueline had a story about.
I did make the mistake recently of, like, not eating dinner before I met somebody for drinks, and it was that awkward, like, it's sort of still dinner time, but, like, he wasn't ordering anything, and I was like, oh, I was, like, starting to get a little bit hangry, and then I made the mistake of having a second glass of wine, and the combination of those two things, I got, like, a little bit feisty, and I think I started, like, spouting off about something political that was, like, a little bit too much for a first date, and, yeah, now I keep granola bars in my purse, so...
That's really
lesson
you
learned.
Get, you get feisty
in the
and
Uber,
political.
Like wolfing down a Cliff Bar, like, on my way. So now,
listeners and Diane's friends, now you know how to get her feisty and political. Just deprive her of food and give her a second glass of wine.
My friends all know this about me, and if they want to take me to a restaurant where they know we're going to have to wait, they will text me and be like, "Diane, please eat a snack in the cab because we don't want to deal with you being angry."
Those are good friends.
They don't want to unleash the beast.
Those are good friends. Diane, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was really fun. And listeners, her book is beautiful. This Calls for a Drink, The Best Wine and Beer to Pair with Every Situation, published by Workman. It's beautiful. It's a really fun read. And it makes those of us who do drink after a heartbreak or when they're sad feel better about what we are drinking. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
Oh, thank you. This was so much fun. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Listeners, Bye. You can find Diane at DianeMcMartin.com and on Goodreads and Amazon and on Twitter as at Diane McM3. We highly suggest you do. And then all of her information and links to purchasing are on our website, lovebitesradio.com. Benjamin, we're done for the week.
We are.
And next week is our final show of the season.
Yes, it is.
I'm excited. So listeners, we are coming back for...
I don't know why I'm speaking.
I don't
like
know
a,
why I'm speaking. Because I just... I don't know why I sat up
you
and
set
got
the tone.
Very... I did. Next week, listeners, come back for our... we're bringing back the roundtable discussion on dating cliches. Let's break them down. I like ending the season this way. It's really fun. Because next season, we're kicking things off a little bit more seriously. Our first show, Ben is going to be doing the bro show while I'm...
I don't know how serious that's going to be.
That's not going to be serious.
That out there.
That one is not going to be serious. But the rest of the season, it's going to be very serious love bites here. So this season, we're finishing it off with something fun. So please come back next week to listen to that. Until then, thanks to our engineer, P. Diggity, and David back in the booth today.
P. Diggity.
Our theme song is Give Love by Josh Dion, and we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. We'll be back at the same time next week here at heritageradionetwork.org.
Later.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.